Thank you for all being here today. And we are just 1 week away from National Back to Church Sunday. So, what do you think? Do you think we're going to need to bring out some extra chairs for next week? For all the visitors that we're going to have here? For all the friends and the neighbors and even strangers that we have or we're going to invite? Perhaps using one of these great invitation cards. There are still some back on the table, so be sure to pick some up. Will we need extra chairs for all of our future brothers and sisters in the royal family of the great King? Extra chairs for our new co-heirs with Jesus, co-heirs of all the riches of the kingdom of God. Look, I know we've got no real control over whether the people we invite will actually show up. Things happen. Things come up. People forget. Their alarm clocks don't go off. Or maybe they just said, yeah, I'll come. Just to get you to shut up and stop talking about your awesome church. Excuses. If there's one thing that we human beings are good at, it is excuses. And there's no wonder we've been making excuses since the very beginning. Y'all remember this one? The man, Adam, said, "You gave me this woman, and she gave me the fruit from the tree, and so I ate it. Don't blame me. Blame her or blame yourself." I mean, dude, that was probably not a great start for us, was it? Jesus knew all about this excuse thing, didn't he? He told this story about a rich man who prepared a great banquet, a great feast, an elaborate, exciting party. And he invited all of his friends. And then, when everything was ready, he sent his servants out to go talk to the people that he had invited and tell them, "Everything's ready now. Come on down." But instead of jumping into the chariot and racing down to what was going to be the event of the season, this happened. But then every single guest began to make excuses. One said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I just bought some land and I need to go see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "So sorry. I just bought 5 pair of oxen. I need to go check them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." Listen, you do not have to be a biblical scholar or even a Philadelphia lawyer to know and to see that these are silly, nonsensical excuses. These excuses were a polite, actually not really even a polite way of saying, "I don't care about your party, I don't care about your feast, I don't care about all the fun, I don't care about you." These were the people that the host would have thought would have loved to have come to his home and to enjoy his hospitality and his friendship and his love. They rejected him. And the rejection was unexpected and painful. Rejection is actually something Jesus was familiar with. Here's what Isaiah predicted hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. He was despised and rejected by people. And even before this was written, the people of Israel rejected God. Remember this? The Lord said to Samuel, "Do everything the people request of you, for it is not you that they have rejected, but it is me that they have rejected as their king." And so, when people reject our invitations to join us at National Back to Church Sunday next week, we're actually in great company. They're not really rejecting us. They're rejecting God. Or rather, they're rejecting the opportunity for an encounter with God that could happen here. They're rejecting the opportunity for a changed life. So Jesus told that story about people making silly excuses. We kind of looked at it a few minutes ago. But Jesus also directly experienced the brush off of a silly, nonsensical excuse himself. Now remember this? He, meaning Jesus, said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Now wait a minute, Ambrose. I hear what you're saying. This guy is making a perfectly reasonable, logical, rational explanation for why he can't accept Jesus' invitation. This is nothing at all like those ridiculous, silly excuses that the people in the parable made up. Really? Well, let's just see how Jesus responded to this man's perfectly reasonable, rational, logical explanation. Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Wow. Jesus, that's kind of rough. That's pretty harsh. That's being unnecessarily rough on this guy who's in mourning, who's grieving his father's death. Right? That doesn't sound at all like the Jesus that I know, or that you know, does it? Jesus never treated anybody with that kind of cruelty. So that tells us something. Something else had to be going on here. Something that was obvious to the Jewish people that were around him at that moment, to the Middle Eastern mindset at the time. It's obvious to them, but now it's been obscured by our Western eyes, a different culture, by the passage of time. There are actually a couple of possibilities here. Now, you probably know this. Burials in those days happened very quickly after the death of somebody. Always the same day, which is unusual for us, but always the same day, and usually within 2 hours of the death. And so, clearly there's something else going on here when this guy says, "Let me first go bury my father." There was a custom back in those days that in and around that vicinity of Jerusalem where after someone died, 1 year later, they would come and open the grave, take the bones, and reinter them in a box called an ossuary. And then they would take that ossuary box and put it in the side of the tomb, making more room. And so, one possibility is that this guy was telling Jesus, "It's going to be a year. It's going to be a year before I can commit to following you." Even more likely, though, the meaning of "let me first go bury my father" is that the father wasn't dead, wasn't close to death, wasn't even sick. He was still very much alive. And this guy was just saying this in order to say, "It's going to be a while, Jesus. It's going to be a while." It's like him saying, "I'll follow you, but first, I got some things I want to do. In other words, me first, Jesus. Me first. So do you see now why Jesus reacted in what we kind of thought was a harsh way? This guy was just giving him an excuse, a silly and sad excuse for not doing what Jesus had invited him to do. Excuses. What strange things they are. How different they sound to my ears when I'm the one saying them than when you're the one saying them. My words are, of course, perfectly reasonable, logical, rational explanations. Your words are just excuses. Surely I'm not the only one that sees it that way. Well, here's a guy who's gotten tired of it. Okay, how does this start?
We're going to get it done. We aren't in there. We aren't good enough. They're better than us. Black and white, simple fact. Could have, would have, should have is the difference in what I'm talking about. The good teams don't come in and say could have. They get it done. All right? It's that simple. I'm tired of saying could have, should have, would have. That's why we ain't good enough yet. Because we're saying could have and they ain't.
Let's play it again. Louder.
We're going to get it done. We aren't good enough. They're better than us. Black and white, simple fact. Could have, would have, should have is the difference in what I'm talking about. The good teams don't come in and say could have. They get it done. All right? It's that simple. I'm tired of saying could have, should have, would have. That's why we ain't good enough yet. Because we're saying could have and they ain't.
Anybody remember that? From 1987, here on the eve of a new year with the Saints, Coach Mora, back in 1987, in a year when we went 12-3, by the way, but we had just lost to the 49ers, 24-22, missed a long field goal at the end of the game that would have won the game, and Mora went off. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Don't you love that? Excuses. Now, so far, we've been looking at and thinking about excuses in the excuses made by people who are turning down our invitation, rejecting the opportunity that's been offered to them. Context that we're looking at, you know, obviously is National Back to Church Sunday, what we might hear from the people that we invite. And okay, I admit and I realize that what is in store for our invited guest next Sunday, if I could borrow some of Coach Moore's words, isn't in the same league as the awesome banquet and feast and party that the people made lame excuses to miss in the story Jesus told. There's not going to be a big feast next Sunday after church. There's not going to be a band. There's not going to be smoke up here. There's not going to be flashing lights. There's not going to be a Christian artist singing a song. And as far as the speaker is concerned, well, you know. Anyway, so you can see how the folks that we might invite might wonder if coming to or coming back to church next Sunday might not be the best use of a couple of hours of their time next Sunday. You can see why they might be scrambling and looking for an excuse to give you. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if you hear some strange or silly excuses for why they can't be here. I mean, if all we have to offer people here is a chance to meet folks like us who are deeply rooted in Jesus, a chance to encounter the love and grace of Jesus, a chance to join his family here as another brother and sister for us to love and to walk with on this journey to God, a chance to change the trajectory of their life and that of their family forever. I mean, if that's all we've got to offer them, who wouldn't say no to that? But all of this possibility of hearing excuses from people who don't come next Sunday depends on something else happening first. Can you guess what that is? We got to invite them. It all depends on whether or not we invite anyone. Very good. If we don't invite anyone, we don't give them the opportunity to come up with a wacky excuse for not being here. But we also don't give them the opportunity to have that life-changing encounter with Jesus here, which then puts us in the unenviable position of making excuses. Making excuses. Not to me. Nobody in this church answers to me about anything, much less about whether or not you're doing what God has called you and me and all of us to do. Now, as always, all of that is going to be between you and God. So let's go back to the question that started this little exploration into the strange world of excuses. Remember the question, should we set out extra chairs for next Sunday? Y'all remember that question? And maybe I could put it this way as a matter of and as a measure of our faith. Let me put it this way. Everybody who believes that we need to put extra chairs out here, get up right now and go back to that back room back there and pick up some more chairs and bring them in here. Right now. There goes some people. And you got to wonder if they are actually doing this because of faith or because... Y'all sit back down. Bethany's going to take care of the chair. But was that a matter of faith or was that a matter of following the leader? We don't know. But I loved it. It was a rhetorical question, I'm sorry. But I loved your response, frankly. Maybe I could put it in a more introspective way, okay? Let's all ask ourselves this question. If everybody else in this church invites as many people as I invite, then will we need more chairs? Wait a minute, Ambrose. All right, last week's sermon about seeing the field ripe for harvest the way Jesus sees them, seeing people the way Jesus sees them, praying that prayer about sending out more workers, which means sending me out. That was challenging. Now you're just getting right up in our face. No, I'm not. All I'm doing is asking questions. And if those questions encourage us, starting always with me, to take a look at how we're walking on this path, at how closely we're following Jesus, well then good. There's no competition here. There is no judgment here. Let's just encourage each other to use the gifts that God has given us recognizing we all have different gifts. And that all of those gifts are important and necessary and needed if Tammany Oaks is going to become the church that Jesus wants us to be. But as His followers, firmly rooted in Jesus, that's got to mean we're rooted in the concept of sharing. Sharing this beautiful life that He has given us. Sharing the beautiful hope that we have for an eternal future with Him. When it comes to sharing, let's live so that we have no regrets. Let's live so we have no reason to make excuses. What are we waiting for? Let's stand and sing.